ourselves. Thank him for another wonderful night of our Torah teaching. The computer was acting up a little bit. Took us a little while to connect. But we'll go ahead and get started. And I tell you what, we are already week 17. it's flying by. And y'all I was talking to Brother Scott this morning, which like we do every morning when he's up early going to work. And we were just talking about the week and how it's going by so fast. And I told him you should see how fast Shabbat comes Fridays when you're preparing to teach. It's like the week, where did 7 days go from last Friday to this Friday? It really goes by really, really fast. But it's an honor. It's an honor to be able to do the teachings that we're going through. So we'll go ahead and get started. And it's our Torah teachings of understanding Yah's likes and dislikes. And this week is Torah Porsha 17 and is Yithro. Yithro or Jethro. And in Hebrew, for the name Jethro. And the Torah is Exodus 18, 1 through 20, 23. And the half Torah is Isaiah 6, 1 through 7, 6. And this Torah is phenomenal. It's awesome. Think about the title. You know what? The title is named after a pagan priest. And what a Torah to be named after. He's given the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. What an honor. Think about that. And what is, you know, of all the names you can think of, you took a pagan priest and named him after one of the most awesome Torah, to your betrothal, your Ten Words, your Ten Commandments. You name him, this Torah, after him. And it's just because Yah is so selfless in love. And he's showing us that no matter where you are or where you come from, there's always hope. There's always hope for someone. And it's just amazing, this Torah, to have it named after you. And we see there was a process. We see trouble, deliverance, judgment, intimacy, and God reveals himself. And this process is, we see the trouble and the deliverance, and that process is what the ancient Israel went through, what the Israelites went through. And we also could look at it for us today. There's trouble that we're going to go through, but we also know that he's going to deliver us from it, just like he did Israel, just like he did them. We've seen that the trouble they went through, all the bondage for 200 plus years that they was in bondage in Egypt, and he delivered them out of it. And then the judgment, we've seen there was judgment for their actions on the Egyptians. And it was harsh, lives was lost. But we also see that there's a righteous judgment. And we see that in this Torah portion, that Moshe judged righteously. He was a righteous judge. And that's the application for our lives today. With the Torah being in us, we need to judge righteously. We don't need to be pointing fingers at people that why they're not doing it this way or why they're not doing it that way. If the Torah is in us, we need to share that Torah rhythm with them and judge righteously. And the intimacy with the betrothal, and that happened at Mount Sinai. And we'll see in the future the marriage that's going to happen in the future for us when Yeshua comes back. And then God reveals himself. He revealed himself at Mount Sinai with the cloud of the fire, and that whole earth shook, the whole mountain shook, and he was revealing himself to them, and he's going to reveal himself to us. What a day. After, when Yeshua hands the keys back over to the Father, and we get to spend that face to face with him, and you're talking about revealing himself to us. How intimate is that? When the one, the creator, the one who gives us breath in our lungs, we get to see him face to face. He's going to reveal himself. So powerful, so powerful. So there was a process that they went through, and there's a process that we're going to go to. And Yeshua says it himself about the trouble. He says, after tribulation, you're going to be delivered. It's not before. So the topics in the Porsche, this week's Torah Porsche, is Yithro, Hebrew for the name Jethro. In chapter 18, we see Yithro comes to Moshe with Moshe's wife and his two sons. And he left them behind because he was going, he was commissioned to go give a message to Pharaoh. And he didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So he wasn't going to bring his wife and his kids along with him because he didn't know what was going to happen. Live or die, he didn't know. So he left them back with his father-in-law. And in chapter 19, Israel prepares as a bride for a betrothal commandment on Shavuot. In chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, given as a ketubah, the ten words. This Torah portion, you look at it and you say, wow, just three chapters. It's not very long. But after 18 and 19, we're going to talk about God's wedding plan. And that is a lot of information. We'll do 18 and 19 tonight, pretty easy, I think, with no problem. And then 20 and that, God's plan, God's wedding plan, that's 12 steps to a Jewish wedding. And he instituted that, and they kept it. So we see here the assembly of, the parties. The plain meaning is Yethro is grafted in. This thing is so blurry. It is, even on my end. So I'm going to have to do this. So we're going through the parties, and we're going to see the plain meaning. Yethro is grafted in. Mixed multitude, one at Sinai, and God gives the Ten Commandments. So it was that mixed multitude, it was some Egyptians, all that came out of that to that mountain. And think about it. Grafting all them in, for them, he made them one at Mount Sinai. And it's just like Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sticks, and how in the end time they're going to be one again. In God's character, his commandments, and a betrothal ketubah. And we see a hidden glimpse of Messiah, a revelation of how to love God and man. That's what Yeshua showed us when he became flesh. He showed us how to love God and man. The living word is the greatest revelation of love ever seen. And we're going to see some from the Dead Sea Scrolls. They've got a whole list of them. There are Nehemiah, Psalms, Ezra, Enoch, Jubilees, Jasher, and then the half Torah, Isaiah 6, 1 through 7, 6. That was tough. So we'll go ahead and get started. And right here, you see Yithro, and just how Pastor broke that down last week, that you can take a Hebrew word and do a picture, something language, I forgot how he called it, and it brings it into a different meaning. And you see the yod, that little bitty, first, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet is that yod. And that yod it represents God's hand. And the tav is his covenant. And the resh is like the back of a head, it's a person. And then you see the vav, it's a nail, it's a connector. And that deep meaning is Yah's covenant and person connected. Anyone that's grafted into Israel, that's grafted in, that accepts the love of Yah and accepts and love his commandments, that person can be connected to Yah. That person can be connected in Yah's covenant. That's what you can get out of Yithro and the deep meaning with that pictographic language. This Porsche tells Jethro's organization's counsel to Moses and God's revelation of the Ten Commandments to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. And we're going to see that, how he told Moses. He said, what you're bearing is too much for you. You got to set up people to help you. And it's going to be peace when you set them up. In this study, we focus on the importance of being grafted into Israel like Jethro and the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with Israel and then received the blessings of being a part of God's betrothal at Sinai and receiving the ketubah, revealing how to love God and our fellow man. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, also pronounced Jethro in English, hears of the great miracles which God performed. And this is so powerful because he heard it. He just from sitting back and he hears all what God did for Moses and Israel. But it wasn't until Moses himself told him all what God did before he really was grafted in, so to speak. Which God performs for the people of Israel and comes from Midian to the Israelites' camp, bringing with him Moses' wife and two sons. Jethro advises Moses to appoint a hierarchy of magistrates and judges to assist him in the task of governing and administering justice to the people. The children of Israel camped opposite Mount Sinai, where they are told that God has chosen them to be his kingdom of priests and holy nation. The people respond by proclaiming, "All that God has spoken, we shall do." And that's all the I do's, they said. "We shall do. I shall do it." On the sixth day of the third month, Sivan, 7 weeks after the Exodus, the entire nation of Israel assembles at the foot of Mount Sinai. God descends on the mountain amidst thunders, lightning, pillars of smoke, and the blast of the shofar, and summons Moses to ascend. Think about that. All that's going on and Yah's telling you to come up. You're talking about having faith and trust in him. God proclaims the Ten Commandments, commanding the people of Israel to believe in God, not to worship idols or take God's name in vain, to keep the Shabbat, honor their parents, not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, and not to bear false witness or covet another's property. The people cried out to Moses that the revelation is too intense for them to bear, begging him to receive the Torah from God and convey it to them. They wanted that mediator. They couldn't handle the voice. Chapter 18, Jethro comes to Moshe. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, remember, this is a pagan priest. And that just goes to show you, Moses was a very righteous man. And think about having a father-in-law as a pagan priest. You believe in one thing, you sacrifice in the Yah, and he's sacrificing to many, many other gods. How would you like to have been at that family reunion? Huh? We can take that. We can take that life from Moshe and apply it. The priest of Midian, Moshe's father-in-law, heard of all that Elohim had done for Moshe and for Israel, his people, that Yah had brought Israel out of Mitzrayim. So he's hearing all these wonderful things that Yah has done. All these, how he kept them and he led them all the way to this mountain, led them through the Red Sea. And Jethro, Moshe's father-in-law, took Zipporah, the wife of Moshe, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom. And that means, in Hebrew, that means foreigner. For he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." And the name of the other was Eleazar. And Eli means my God, and Azar is my help in Hebrew. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for he said, "The Elohim of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." Words mean so much. It's so deep when you put them in, when you look at them in the Hebrew aspect. It means so much than just, you know, your English name. Verse 5, Jethro's, Moshe's father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moshe in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of Elohim. And he had said to Moshe, I, your father-in-law Yethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. And Moshe went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other about their welfare, and they went into the camp. And Moshe told his father-in-law all that Yah had done to Pharaoh and the Mishraites for Israel's sake. And Moshe told his father-in-law, there's nothing better than getting the story better than from the source itself. It brings out a totally different meaning. You know, you can tell someone, you can share your story or your battles that you overcame to someone, and they can go share it, and it just don't have that meaning as if you saying it to that person. So all what he was hearing before this face-to-face meeting with Moshe, he heard it and he was just listening to it. But when Moshe himself started telling him to it, it was just something about it. It had way more meaning to it. For Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way and how Yah had delivered them. And even the battle of Amalek, the Amalekites, even that battle, he heard. That was the kicker. Because, you know, all what he's hearing, he's just, they deserve that. The Egyptians deserve that. Because they cause and effect is what they're getting. But in that battle, the unity that he was seeing with Israel. How when Moshe's hands was getting tired, when in all else they should have lost, because they wasn't prepared for that. But every time Moses' hands went up, Yehoshua was in there, down there in the valley, winning. And he heard that. His father-in-law heard about all those things. And watch his answer. His answer is incredible. In verse 9, and Yethro rejoiced for all the good which Yah had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Mishraites. And Yethro said, blessed be Yah, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Mishraites and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Mishraite. There's something happening to this pagan priest right here. It says, blessed be Yah. Look at verse 11. Now I know that Yah is greater than all the mighty ones. Not just some of them, all the mighty ones. Now I know. Now he's being grafted in to Israel. Indeed, in the matter in which they acted proudly above them. Then Yethro, the father-in-law of Moshe, brought an ascending offering and other slaughterings unto who? There was no more pagan gods he was bringing offerings to. He was bringing it to the Most High. He said, now, he says, I'm slaughtering and bringing it to Elohim. And Aharon, the priest, the high priest, came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moshe before Elohim. Wow. Verse 13, and it came to be on the next day that Moshe sat to rightly rule the people. Moshe sat to rightly rule the people. And the people stood before Moshe from morning until evening. Can you think about that? You're taking on all these different circumstances that people is having, all these questions of what they're going through, and why they doing this and why they doing that. That can get tiresome. And his father-in-law seen it. He's seen it. He said, it's going to wear you out, he told him. From morning until evening. Think about it. Sometimes we get a 15, 20-minute phone call, and then when they call back the next day, we don't answer. Huh? Straight to voicemail. I ain't got time for that problem. I do it. I've done it, and sometimes I still do it. Like today, for instance. Not even lie. My oldest brother was driving me crazy. And when the father-in-law of Moshe saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit by yourself and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? Why? Why are you doing that? He's going to set up this hierarchy. And Moshe said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to seek Elohim. That's why I do it. When they have a matter, they come to me and I rightly rule between one and another. There you go, that righteous judge. Why? Because he's doing it like the Torah. He's letting the Torah unfold. Because, listen, it's all oral. It's not nothing written yet. So he's got all this information, all this oral Torah, and that's how he's judging the people. And that's how we need to judge, the same exact way, by the Torah. If the scripture says it, this is how you do it. If the scripture don't say it, you don't do it. That's how we answer. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I rightly rule between one another, and make known the laws of Elohim and his Torah. What does it mean to be a righteous judge? And this is in Hebrew. And I practice this all day, so I'm going to try it. Exodus 18:16, it says, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge them. I judge between one and another, and I do make them know. Notice what he makes them know. He don't make them know Moses' laws or Moses' ideas. He says, I make them know the hukei, which is statutes of God, and his Torah Tav, his laws. And that's plural, Torah Tav. That means both, oral and written. And that the first little three is, I'm not even going to try it because I know I'm going to mess it up. I think it's Hukei Aha Elohim would be the second one. Vayet is the third letter one. And Torah Tav is the last one. Hukei Aha Elohim Vayet Torah Tav. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for bringing that back to my memory. The Hukim, the things of God that defy human reasoning. Meaning there's things we're not going to understand. But we have to have faith and trust that that's what he says and that's what he's going to do. The things of God that defy human reasoning. Sometimes we're trying to figure things out in our mind. That was one of the things that Pastor shared when he gave everybody a word in the church. That was one of the things he spoke over me. He said, you're trying to figure it out in your mind. And human reasoning. But you got to have faith. You got to trust. And the Torah Tav is his Torahs, both oral and written instructions. So when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the Hukei, the statutes of God, and his Torah Tav, his laws. Verse 17. And the father-in-law of Moshe said to him, What are you doing is not good. And the father-in-law of Moshe said to him, what are you doing is not good. Now think about it. This man is getting counsel. This is Moshe getting counsel from his father-in-law all of a sudden. You think Moshe Mata would have had some ill feelings? No, because he was doing it according to the Torah. We would have been, who you think you are? All what I've been doing and not hear you all coming? No, just grafting it. Don't matter where we grafted in that. Don't matter if I've been here 10 years or you just got here today. If Yah is giving you a word to tell me, I got to receive it. I got to receive it, no matter how it's coming out. I have to receive it. If it's according to the Torah, I have to receive it. And that's what's happening with Moshe right here. His father said, what are you doing? It's not good. You're going to wear yourself out. Both you and these people with you shall certainly wear yourselves out. For the matter is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it by yourself. Now, listen to my voice. Let me counsel you, and Elohim be with you. You think Jethro is getting some revelation after just being grafted in? You think he has an understanding of the Torah and He said, now I know this God that you serve is far more great than all other ones. Let me counsel you and be your, and Elohim be with you. Stand before Elohim for the people, and you shall bring the matters to Elohim. And you shall enlighten them concerning the laws and the Torah, and show them the way in which they should walk, and the work which they do. And how you do that? By the Torah. The Torah shows you the way we need to walk, how we need to act, how we need to talk, how we need to present ourselves daily. Not just every now and again, daily. The Torah teaches you that. And that's what his father-in-law is telling him. That's what Yitro is telling him. Verse 21, but you yourself, this verse right here is where he's setting up the hierarchy. But you yourself seek out from all the people able men, humble men, men that's not seeking self, who fear Elohim, men of truth, hating unfair gain, and place these over them to be rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they shall rightly rule the people at all times, and it shall be that they bring every great matter to you, but they themselves rightly rule every small matter, so make it lighter for yourself, for they shall bear with you. And this hierarchy is set up, this is a heavenly model also, because you got Yah at the top, then you got his word, then you got the angels, and then you have Israel and the nations. And in the millennial kingdom, in the messianic kingdom, you have the word who's manifested Yeshua. And then you have, instead of angels, you got the 12 tribes. I mean, you have the 12 disciples, just like he said in, I think it's John and Matthew. He told them that you're going to sit on the 12 thrones and you're going to rule Israel with me. So you have Yeshua in the messianic kingdom. And then you have the 12 disciples. And then you have Israel. And then you have the nations. It's just how God intended it for it to be. And his father-in-law understood this. He understood it. Verse 23, if you do this word, and Elohim shall command you, then you shall be able to stand. We have a couple ifs and then in this Torah portion. If you do, then this will happen. And all this people also go to their place in peace. And Moshe listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moshe chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. Moshe listened to his father-in-law. Verse 26, and they rightly ruled the people at all times. The hard matters they brought to Moshe, but they rightly rule every small matter themselves. And Moshe sent off his father-in-law, and he went away to his own land. Think about it, how Moshe, he had to have, you knew your people. Out of 2 million, almost 3 million people, you handpicked certain ones to help you rightly rule. You're talking about being led by the set-apart spirit. How can you pick 10 or how many people he picked to rightly rule, but perfectly to where they'll do it according to the Torah? Only set apart spirit. Chapter 19, God purifying the people, getting them ready to receive the ketubah. God purifying the people, getting them ready to receive the ketubah. In the third new month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Mizraim, on this day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they sat out of Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moshe went up to Elohim. This is his first trip. We're going to count. how many times he went up this mountain. And let that be an application for our lives. We might have to go up this mountain once or twice, but don't get weary. And Moshe went up to Elohim, and Yah called to him from the mountain, saying, "This is what you are to say to the house of Yaakov, and declare to the children of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Midianites, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And now, if you diligently obey my voice, and shall guard my commandment," it's another if and then you shall be my treasure possession above all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. He told him, go tell him that, see how I bore y'all on eagle's wings, and I brought you unto myself. And listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. This is a promise for us. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Did you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting Elohim, Yah, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men stumble and fall. Listen to this. He's prophesying right here. And this is for our days. Even youths shall faint. We shall faint. We shall get weary. And young men shall stumble and fall. But those who wait on Yah renew their strength. They rise up the wing like eagles. They run and not weary. They walk and do not faint. Hallelujah. He's telling us, you're gonna come up short some days. Some days you're not going to feel like it. But always remember that I'll raise you up on eagle's wings. The Lord's mercy remembered. Isaiah 63, 7. Let me count the loving commitments of Yah. Listen, when you be still, when you're waiting, and you patiently wait, and you're silent. Brother Herman read a scripture the other night, and I was trying to think of it, and I couldn't remember the scripture he read about being patient and silent for Bible study. But when you're patient and silent, you start thinking about all his loving commitments. You're recounting them. You're weighing them out. And the praises of Yah, according to all that Yah has done for us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has done for them according to his compassion and according to his many loving commitments. Recount them. Sometimes we got to go back and just meditate. Think about them. There's many of them. And many. Look all over the walls. Many. Many, many, many. One on the station was about singing a song, if I'm not, that one right there. Was about singing a song. And about sing to Yah, but it was sing of what he'd done for you, what he delivered you from, and all. It was just wonderful. Isaiah 63:8, and he said, they are my people, children who do not act falsely, and he became their savior in all their distress. He was distressed, and the messenger of his presence saved them. In his love and in his compassion, he redeemed them, and he lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Think about that. Verse 6, chapter 19, and you shall be to me a reign of priests and a set apart nation. Those are the words which you speak to the children of Israel. This is what Yah told Moshe to tell the children of Israel. And Moshe came and called for the elders. So now he's back down. And called for the elders of the people and set before them all these words which Yah commanded him. Revelations 1:5. Look, in Revelations, he's renewing the covenant, the original covenant that was broken. He's renewing it. In Revelations 1:5, because of sin, it was broken. And we'll see here in the end, in the future, he's going to renew it. And from Yeshua Messiah, the trustworthy witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the sovereigns of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. By the blood of Yeshua, he renewed that covenant. And has made, verse 6, and has made us sovereigns and priests to his Elohim and the Father. To him be esteem and rule forever and ever. Amen. Revelations 5:9. And they sang a renewed song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and have redeemed us to Elohim by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us sovereigns and priests to our Elohim, and we shall reign upon the earth. Verse 8 in chapter 19. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yah has spoken, we shall do. All that Yah has spoken, we shall do. So Moshe brought back the words of the people to Yah. So here he's going back up. This is the second trip, going back up to the mountain. He's got to tell Yah all what they said. He's the mediator. He's their mediator. And Yah said to Moshe, see, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, so that the people hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. And Moshe reported the words of the people to Yah. And Yah said to Moshe, go to the people and set them apart today and tomorrow, and they shall wash their garments. So now he's got to go, Yah's telling him to go back down. Go back down, and you tell him this, that you got to be set apart. And that's just like us today. Come out from among them, he's telling us. You set apart. Wash yourself. That's the whole, the mikvah is awesome. And it's not, you know, we think that it's just a one-time thing. We only sin one time? No. Cleanse yourself. Mikvah. You can do it often. We should do it often. Verse 11. And shall be prepared by the third day. For on the third day, Yah shall come down upon Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. And the third day is so many things you can tie into the third day. Hosea 5:15, I shall go, and look, this is Hosea prophesying. He's prophesying this hundreds of years before Yeshua even showed up on the scene. I shall go, I shall return to my place until they confess their guilt and seek my face. Who he's speaking about? He's speaking about Yeshua. I shall go, I shall return to my place until they confess their guilt and seek my face. In their distress, diligently search for me and say, Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, that was the last verse in chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 1, come and let us turn back to Yah, for he has torn, but he does heal. He has stricken, but he binds us up. Remember that process? Huh? Troubles? He has stricken us, but he binds us up. After 2 days, he shall revive us. What is he saying? After 2 days, he shall revive us on the third day. He shall raise us up so that we live before him. He's talking about the resurrection. Shall revive us on the third day, and he shall raise us up so that we live before him. Verse 10, and Yah said to Moshe, go to the people, set them apart today and tomorrow, and they shall wash their garments and shall be prepared by the third day. For on the third day, Yah shall come down upon Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. Verse 12, and you shall make a border for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall certainly be put to death. Not a hand is to touch it, but he shall certainly be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast. He shall not live when the yobel sounds long, when the shofar sounds long. Let them come near the mountain. He's telling you don't have to force yourself on Yah. It's not what he's, you don't have to force yourself on him. And that's what he's telling them. Tell them, don't come close to the mountain. Verse 14, and Moshe came up from the mountain to the people and set the people apart, and they washed their garments. So now he's back down. And he said to the people, be prepared by the third day. Do not come near a wife. He wants us cleanse physically, spiritually, mentally. And that's what he's telling them right here, to prepare, but do not even come near a wife. In verse 16, and it came to be on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and a voice of a shofar was very strong, and all the people who were in the camp trembled. Joel 2, 1 and 2, Revelations 4, 5, and Revelation 16, 18 speaks about when Yeshua is going to return, that it's going to be thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud in the mountain, in the shofar. A long blast of that shofar is, not only will people tremble, but it's going to be so loud and so powerful that it's going to raise the dead. And we're going to read those three passages. And Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Joel 2:1, blow a shofar in Zion, sound an alarm in my set-apart mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of Yah is coming, for it is near. A day of darkness, a day of gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people many and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor shall there be again, ever shall be again after them, to the years of many generations. In Revelations 4:5, in Revelation 16:18, and out of the throne came lightnings and thunders and voices, and seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Elohim. And there came to be noises and thunders and lightnings. And there came to be an earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not come to be since men were on the earth. This is John, what he's seeing, and he's seeing what's going to happen in the end times. Verse 18, and Mount Sinai was in smoke, all of it, because Yah descended upon it in fire. And it was smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace, and all the mountain trembled exceedingly. And when a voice of the shofar sounded long and became very strong, Moshe spoke, and Elohim answered him by a voice. And Yah came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain, and Yah called Moshe to the top of the mountain, and Moshe went. So he's making another trip. But this ain't no ordinary trip. This mountain's on fire. And it's shaking. And here Moshe's got to go up to this mountain to meet. But look, when Yah calls, it don't matter if it's shaking, it don't matter if it's what it looks like. If he says, come, we go. We go. And Yah said to Moshe, go down and warn the people, lest they break through unto Yah to see, and many of them fall. And let the priests who come near Yah set themselves apart too, lest Yah break out against them. And Moshe said to Yah, the people are not able to come up to the Mount Sinai. And Moshe said to Yah, the people are not able to come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, make a border around the mountain and set it apart. And Yah said to him, come, go down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. So here, now this is his fourth trip up. Go down, come up, but don't come up by yourself this time. Bring Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to Yah, lest he break out against them. And Moshe went down to the people and spoke to them. You get tired just reading how many times he went up and down the mountain. But and this, not on, on top of that, he's fasting for 40 days while doing this. And that's where we're going to stop at. Because if we get into the ancient Jewish wedding, because there's a lot of information to go with this. And it's talking about, and then with the 12 steps and a lot of scripture to back it up. And it's just so powerful, this next section of the Torah, along with the Ten Commandments, the betrothal, along with that, in the ketubah. So that's all I have for tonight. I thank y'all for coming. You know, we serve an awesome, awesome, awesome Father. So good to us, loves us so much, to where it took his Son and the blood to renew that covenant because of sin. That old covenant was done away with, and he renewed it. So I just thank him for his goodness and his mercy. Anybody has any prayer requests?